Today, sharing the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Lamed Zayin. We are learning today Le'ilui Nishmas Helen Frucht Chaya Bas Yehoshua. All the Shomos we learn for should have an Aliyah. We begin on Lamed Zayin Omid Aleph, about 9-10 lines down from the top. Yesterday, we had brought down the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, who required that the Arba Minim are only allowed to be used to do the Igud, the bundling, and you can't bundle the species of the Dalet Minim together with any other material not from the Dalet Minim. And then he added to that, and he said, likewise, he brought down a Kal v'chomer, he said, if you can't bundle with any of the other Dalet Minim, so then you can't as well make the schach out of anything other than the Dalet Minim. You must restrict yourself to the schach even being only from the Dalet Minim. And now the Gemara questions that. Umi Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Arbas Minim in Midyachrin Alo, did Rabbi Yehuda really go so far as to say that the schach could only be made out of items from the Dalet Minim, but couldn't be made out of something from a different material that was Gidulei Karka and not Makabel Tumah? Really? But Tanya, we learned in a Braisa early in the Masechta, Sichicho b'nisarim shel erez, if a person used boards for that were of erez, of cedar wood, for the schach. So we had said, Sheyesh ben arba tvachim, if they are at least 4 tvachim or more wide, so everybody agreed that that looks too much like a ceiling, and therefore, divrei hakol psula, Rav Meir and Rabbi Yehuda said that that's no good. However, we said if they're between 3 and 4 tvachim, we had a machlokas between Rav Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Ein behem abar tvachim, if they're between 3 and 4 tvachim, Rav Meir still says it's no good postel, but Rabbi Yehuda is machshir. Rabbi Yehuda says in that situation it's good. Now we're talking here about wood that is made from this sarim shel erez, cedar wood. Cedar wood is not one of the dalet minim, so this is going to be the question. How can you say that Rav Yehuda says that it must be from the Dalet Minim? Here earlier he said that Rav Yehuda's machshir, if it's between 3 and 4 tefachim of wood that's made from cedar wood. And by the way, we just finished off the Braisa. Umar the Rav Meir, even Rav Meir, who says that between 3 and 4 tefachim it's not good, Rav Meir is moda, shem yesh bein nesil nesil, that if you had in between the boards a space that was at least the equivalent size of the boards, kimelo neser, and you fill that in with kashu eschach, shemineach posel minehen, you put kashu eschach in between them, it is kesheva, it is acceptable. And the Gemara earlier discussed that, that's not our intention right now to go over that, so we won't go through the reasons why it's good under certain situations. It overlaps the schach, we talked about whether it was in a perpendicular versus parallel perspective. In any event, that's not our interest right now. Rav Meir said that under certain circumstances it would be good, but the critical factor that we're bringing down the kash right now is Rav Yehuda said it definitely is good. So we're talking here about Nisarim Shel Erez. That's not the Dalet Minim Ukshera, and he said that that's perfectly good. So Kashon, how can you tell me the Rav Yehuda holds it must be from the Dalet Minim? So Gemara says, no. What does Erez mean? It doesn't mean cedar wood. Erez could even mean Hadas. Erez could include the Dalet Minim. And where do we see that from? Kedir Rabba Bar Rav Huna. Because we have Rabba Bar Rav Huna bringing down a pasuk. The Amar Rabba Bar Rav Huna. Rabba Bar Rav Huna says, or others say, Amri Bei Rav. Others say that they learned it in the base medish of Rav. Asara Mine Arazin Hain. There are actually 10 types of cedar wood. And this is based upon a pasuk in Yeshaya. And the pasuk in Yeshaya says, Shenemar, Etain Bamidbar Erez, Shito, Vahados, Vegomer. And the rest of that pasuk Vegomer tells us Eretz, Shito, Vahados, the Eitz Shemen, Osim Boarova, Birosh, Tidhar, Usa Ashur, Yachtov. So this pasuk mentions 7 specific types of Erez that are different types of cedar wood, not all of them cedar, different types of wood. We just use the translation Erez as cedar, but it's Lav Davka cedar. 7 specific different types of wood are mentioned. And the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah tells us there's an additional 3, adding up to 10. So therefore, of these 10, quote, Erez, one of them includes Hadas. And that's what Yehuda is talking about early in the Masechta, when we said that if it has Nisarim Shel Erez, meaning Nisarim of Hadas, so then, if it's between 3 and 4 Tvachim, Rabbi Yehuda holds that it's good. Therefore, it's not a contradiction to what we're saying over here, that Rav Yehuda mandates that the schach must be made from the Dalet Minim. Then we quote the Mishnah, Rav Meir Omer Afilu B'Mishicha V'Chule. Rav Meir disagreed with Rav Yehuda. He said, you can even use Chut Shel Mishicha, a thread that is made up of linen. In other words, you can use any material. It doesn't have to be from the Dalet Minim. Okay? So the Gemara says, Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, so Amar Rav Meir says, Maisa b'yakiri Yerushalayim, the Yakiri Yerushalayim, these are the chosh of the people in Yerushalayim. Rashi says, Minichbode Yerushalayim Hashirim, these are the much honored people of Yerushalayim who are wealthy. So these Yakiri Yerushalayim, these holy people from Yerushalayim, Shayu Ogdin Es Lulavehen, they would go and bind their lulavim with what? Begimonios shelzov, with gold chains. In other words, they would go take pieces of gold to go and bind the lulav to the hadasim and the aravos. So therefore, you clearly see, Maisa Shaya, these holy special nechabod that Yerushalayim did this, so Ramey says, you see that I'm right, that you don't have to use the dalad minim. How do they respond to Ramey? So Amulo, Misham Raya, you're trying to bring us a raya from there, Bimino hayu ogdino son. Milamata, that they first they bound it with from the dalit minim, and only afterwards they either put above it in a vertical position higher up for decorative purposes, Rashi says. Others say that it means they put it on top of it so that you could only see the gold, but you didn't see the palm fronds that were wrapped around it. In any event, they were not using the gold as the real binding agent. The palm fronds were the real binding agent, and therefore they were really being bound with the dalet minim, and this was only an additional decorative item, and there is no problem about Tosef. Okay, that's how Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda would understand this custom amongst the Nechbadi Yerushalayim, the Yakir Yerushalayim. Maranat says, Amaluhu Rabbah, Rabbah told Lahanu Megadle Hoshana. Rashi says the Lashon of Megadle Hoshana was the Umanim, the people that would go and put the Hoshanas together for the Bei Reish Galusa, for the house of the Reish Galusa. So Rabbah told these people, he gave them instructions, and he said, Ki Gadlisu Hoshana de Bei Reish Galusa. When you go put together the Hoshanas for the people in the house of the Reish Galusa, Shire Bei Beis Yad, make sure that you leave a spot that is not totally bound, because if you don't, so then this binding that you put around it would be a chatzitza. Now, according to the opinion of Rabbah, this was only a very nice thing to do, a mitzvah, but not a chiyuv. And therefore, if you bind it together and you do it with something that would be a chatzitza between you and holding the dalet minim, that would be a problem. And therefore, he told him, make sure you leave some space at the bottom where there isn't the binding agent, and therefore you can go and hold directly with your hands and there won't be a chatzitza. Gemara says Rava disagrees. Rava Mar, no. It's not considered a chatzitza. Kol lino oso eino chotzeitz. If you're putting something there for beautification purposes, for hisnor lefanai b'mitzos, you're doing this to make the bundle more attractive, more beautiful looking, zekei levianveyu, so then it's not considered a chatzitza. Chatzitza is when something is unnecessary that's there, but not if it's something that's necessary. Furthermore, we have a similar machlokes between Rabbah and Rabbah. V'yomar Rabbah, lo linkot inish hoshana bisudra. You shouldn't hold on to the hoshanis. The hoshanis, again, is a general term that we use for not only the Arava, but for the lulav, the esrog, and the Arava that are bound together. He says you shouldn't hold them together with some sort of a sudra. A sudra is like a kerchief of some sort. We could argue like a glove, because the boy lekicha tama, because Rabbi says you have to hold it completely directly, the leka, and by having a kerchief over there, a glove, so to say, you're not directly holding it together, and therefore that's not the ideal way to do it. Rava disagrees. Rava Amar, no. Again, lekicha, yidei dover acher, shmo lekicha. He says, no. How does that impact on your taking it? The fact that you're doing it indirectly, you have this kerchief that is actually holding it, and you're holding the kerchief, so big deal. That's not a problem. That doesn't have any sort of a chatzitza component to it. Tosus brings down the famous story. We have Yisachar Ish Kfar Bar Koi, that he was a Kohen Gadol, and he would go and wrap his hands with gloves so he shouldn't get his hands dirty when he did the avoda. You don't want to get the blood and the grease on his hands. And he ended up getting both of his hands chopped off. So how come over there it is a chatzitza, and over here Rava says that it's not a chatzitza? So Tosus explains that there we're talking about that he was doing it for his own benefit, as opposed to here, you're talking about the suda, you're doing it for the benefit of the mitzvah. Here you're doing it to be mahada the mitzvah, and there you're doing it to be mahada yourself, to go keep your hands clean. And that's why when you're trying to do it just to keep your hands clean, it's a chatzitza. But over here, Rava says you're doing it to beautify it. Again, the similar idea, kol in oso eino chotzeitz. If something is being done to beautify the mitzvah, that's not a problem. No chatzitza concern. Amar Rava, Rava says, I'll show you that I'm right. Mino amina la de lekicha aydei dover acher shmo lekicha. Where do I know that if you have this lekicha, you don't have a problem with it, not only with chatzitza, but you don't have a problem that you didn't take it. Lekachtem lochem, it's not a problem that you're taking it. If there's something intervening, where do I know that that's not a problem? He says, that's not, because we have a Mishnah in Parah. Mishnah in Parah talks about making the Mei Paraduma, mixing the ashes in the water, in the Mayim Chayim, and making the Mei Paraduma that you can sprinkle on a person to make them tar from Tumas Meitz. So it says over there in the Mishnah Parah, Ezov Kotzer, you have to go and take an Ezov and go and dip it into the water that has the ashes in it, and then spritz it on the person that is Tame. So you have to do this with an Ezov. Now, they used to store the water with the ashes in it in a container. And let's say you had only a little bit of water with the ashes of the paraduma left in the container, and it was a thin opening at the top, and you had to go and insert the ezov inside of it, but if you couldn't reach the bottom, what did you do? So you'd attach it to a string, and then you let it drop to the bottom, it would get contact with the water, and then you'd pull it back up with the string. So if you have an ezov kotzer, the ezov is not long enough to get to the bottom of the kli, so what do? Misafko, Rashi explains, misafko means maricho, you lengthen it in order that you can do its function, bechut, or uvikush. You go take a thread, or you go take a kush. A kush is something used in the sewing that has threads attached to it. It's a spindle. And you go attach this to the azov, so you can essentially lengthen the azov to reach the bottom of the container. And then you dip it in, the tovel, umale, and then you bring it back up. It has the water of the mechatas on it, and you go sprinkle it on the person. Now, you have done it indirectly, and then you take it directly, and you go in mazeh on the person who's tummy. Now, how come that's good? Am I? The pasuk tells us the lokach the toval. Now, those words aren't together. It says the lokach ezov the toval b'mayim ish tohar. So, the Torah tells us Amar Rachmana that you have to go and have the lekicha and the tefillah together. But here, you had the string, so you didn't do the lekicha. So, Ella, lashmam, you know, what do you see from over here? That is called doing the lekicha. Lekicha, ayde dover acher, shmo lekicha. It's not a problem that you have something attached to it. And therefore, just like the paraduma, you can have something attached to it, so too over here, in regards to the taking of the lulav and esrog, it's still called lekicha if you have something else wrapped around it, such as this sudar, this kerchief. Where it says that's not necessarily a raya. Mimai, how can you tell me that the two are the same? Dilma, shiny hasan, by para, it's different because kivan de chabre, there you actually are attaching it. You're taking the string and you're tying it to the azo, so it becomes one unit. So therefore, kigufe dami, it's like a real part, and therefore that's called the kicha tama, not elikicha with an intervention in between, with something intervening in between. As opposed to over here, you're not wrapping the sudar around the lulav, the hadas, and the arava, you're wrapping around your hand. So maybe that's not called lekicha tama. Therefore, you can't bring me a raya. Mor says, okay. Rava says, no problem. I won't use that as my raya. Here's my raya. Elami hocha. Here's the raya to show you that lekicha ayde davar acher shmei lekicha is a good lekicha. Because what happens if you have nofal mishvoferes l'shokes, if you have the ash of the paraduma, right? They burn the paraduma, and then they have to mix that ash with the mayim chayim. So you have the ash in a shofaris. You put the ash in some sort of a tube, a container, and it fell out from this tube unintentionally into the shokis. The shokis was the name of the kli that they used to use to go put the mayim chayim into and mix the ashes of the paraduma into it. They specifically used a shokis, which was an evan, clean, a rock that was made into a base kibble. They hollowed out part of it, and this wasn't makabel tumah. That's why they specifically used a shokis. So if it fell in unintentionally, nofal mishvoferes, if the ashes of the paraduma fell from this tube by accident, unintentionally, into the shokis, puzzle. That's not called making mei chatos. We turn to Lamed Zayin Amud Beis. The implication is, however, ha he pilo, who, if the person himself poured it from the tube, he didn't take the ashes in his hand and put it into the mechatas, into the water, the mayim chayim, but he poured it from the tube into the shokes, the container with the mayim chayim from the mayon, and he then indirectly took the tube and put the ashes in there, that would be kosher. Now, how come am I? The pasuk says again, "V'lachu v'nasan." The full pasuk over here is, "V'lachu latomei mi'afaris reifasachatos v'nasan olov mayim chayim okeli." So again, you need to have "V'lachu v'nasan." So therefore, what do you see? That even though you didn't do it directly, elo lav shmamina lekicha de dover acher shmo lekicha. Even though you didn't do it directly with your hands, you didn't take the ashes and put them in with your hands. You poured them in from the shofaris. Since you intended to pour it in, you were trying to pour it in. That is considered a good lekicha. That, Rava says, is my proof. Another situation where Rabba and Rava argue, V'omer Rabba, lo lodutz inish lulava boshana, a person should be very careful when he goes and takes his lulav and hashanas and he bundles them into the lulav holder or into the binding, so the keshela. So in this situation, he has to be careful. Rabba says, lo lodutz inish lulava boshana, don't do this while it's in the bundle, because Dilma, what's going to happen when you put the lulav in, nasre tarfe, it's going to cause some of the leaves of either the arava or the hadasim to come out, and those leaves aren't part of the mitzvah, and they're going to be a chatzitza, vevi chatzitza, and therefore it's not going to be considered bundled together. So therefore, don't do it that way. Make sure that you bundle them all after they're all pressed together, and not when you're putting one in, one out, because the leaves will come off and it will be a chatzitza. So Rabbi is concerned about it being a chatzitza. Rabbi is not. For Rabbi Amar, min bimino in the chotzis. What are you talking about a chatzitza? The only thing that we're concerned might be intervening physically between the three species is parts of the three species. And min bimino, the same species, can't be considered a chatzitza. This is a famous halachic principle that we have throughout Shas, and Rava applies it over here as well. This is a very important principle in regards to Hilchas Taruves, but that's for another time. Gemara then says, Yom Rabba, another machlos between Rabba and Rava. Rabba says, Lo legos inish lulav boshana. Let's say they're bundled in together, and the lulav is much bigger. Sometimes the lulav is much, much bigger than the other medium, and you want to cut it down. So you have to be careful that when you're cutting the lulav, that if it's bound in already in the keshla with the hadasim and the arabos, the mishtairi hutsa, that none of the leaves of the lulav actually come off over here, and they'll also be a chatzitza, similar to the hadasim and the arabos might come off if you put in the lulav and take it out, and it's going to rub against the oshanas and the arabos. So over here, you have to be concerned that the lulav pieces will not come out and be an interposition, a chatzitza, in between the lulav and the hadasim and the arabos. So Rabbi is concerned again here about chatzitza. And Rava's not. For Rava Amar, min bimino ain't chotzeis. Again, the same principle. He says, it's lulav, and therefore it's not going to be chotzeis, and min bimino is not chotzeis. Tosos brings down, why isn't Rava concerned about this? So Tosos says one of two things. Either he's mistopic, he says maybe min bimino is chotzeis, maybe min bimino is not chotzeis. Or he actually holds that min bimino is chotzeis. Hivade says it's chotzeis, and therefore that's why he's concerned about it. The next question that we have is, how come we have to keep on repeating this same thing? It seems like it's the same thing being repeated over and over. So the Kapos Tvarim brings down, Shemahu nechlokim rak below lodutz. If we only had the first case where you push the lulav in, then I would have said that the reasoning of Rabba is mishum shechoshishim shema ale hados chotzitzin ben halulav yarabba. Because then we'd be concerned that maybe the hadasim leaves that came off, so they're not chotzeis with the hadasim, but they would be chotzeis to the arava or to the lulav. Likewise, v'chin shema ali arava, the arava leaves that came off would be a chatzitza, not for themselves, but to the lulav and the hadas. And that would be min misha'eno mino. And that's why Rabba said that case. And then he has to tell us the next case of lo ligos to teach us that no, even if it's min bimino, and vice versa. Rava might have said, if we only had the second case, then in that situation, when it's the lulav, and it's definitely intervening between the lulav and something else, that min bimino is not chotzeis according to Rava. However, maybe he would agree, in the first case of lo lodot, that in fact, since it's not min bimino, it's the leaves of the hadasim could fall in between the arava and the lulav, maybe he would agree to Rava, and therefore, that's why you need both cases. Beautiful explanation from the Kapos tomorrow. Now we go to another din from Rabba. The Omer Rabba, Rabba says, hadash shel mitzvah, the hadasim that you've used for the mitzvah of the dalid minim, also lo riach bo, you're not allowed to go and smell them on sukkis. They are hooked to the mitzvah, so, and therefore you can't use them for another purpose other than the mitzvah. But then surprisingly, he does say, esrog shel mitzvah, the esrog that you use for the mitzvah of lulav and esrog, that you are allowed to smell, mutar l'riach bo. So obviously, the question is, why the hadas no, and the esrog yes? My time, what's the rationale behind this? Because a hadas, his whole purpose in life is dilerecha koi. We don't eat hadasim. We don't use hadasim for firewood. The purpose of a hadas is to smell it. And therefore, when you designate it l'shei mitzvah, ki aktsaye, for the mitzvah of hadas, in the lulav and esrog, meirecho aktsaye. You're setting it aside specifically for the mitzvah of dalid minim, not to smell, because that's the only other thing that you can do with it. But an esrog, what's the purpose of an esrog? Other than for the mitzvah of esrog, esrog de l'achilakoi. Person goes and eats esrogim. That's what they exist for outside of the mitzvah of esrog. And therefore, when you're designating it for the mitzvah of lulav and esrog, you're saying I'm using it for the mitzvah lulav and esrog and not for eating. Ki aktsaye, when you're designating and setting it aside, meyachil aktsaye, you're setting it aside from not being eaten. But that has nothing to do with smelling it. The purpose of an esrog is not to smell it. And therefore, if a person wishes to, Rabbi says they would be allowed to go and smell an esrog on the yontif of Sukkos. Now, there's a whole big discussion amongst the poskim, should you or should you not do this? A number of questions arise, do you or do you not make a bracha on it? And is there a concern over here with muktzah and on Shabbos, and therefore the minug is brought down that we don't smell a lulav and esrog, or if we do smell it, we usually don't make a bracha with it on the 7 days of Sukkos. This will actually be discussed in those that are following me along with the Dear Shul Mishnah Berurah. And I should mention, this is a great opportunity for those that wish to really see the Halach L'maisa of all the Gemaras that we're talking about. We learn the Gemara here, not the Halach L'maisa, unfortunately, as much as we should. I try to bring down sometimes, but at the speed of the Daf Yomi, we don't really have time to delve into the Halacha L'maisa. But those that want to follow along, and it's not too late to start, even if you're behind and only doing it for the mitzvahs of Sukkah and Lulav, so you can follow along with my Mishnah Berurah, Dirsha Mishnah Berurah Yomi program, which can be found on OU Torah. Little plug. Okay, we continue in the Gemara. The Yomar Rabbah. Rabbah says, Hadas b'mechubar. Here is dealing nothing to do with Sukkos. Here we're dealing with Hilchos Shabbos. If you have a Hadas that's connected to the ground and you want to go smell it on Shabbos, no problem. Mutul riachbo, because, as we'll see in a moment, that's what people do with a Hadas. You don't have to necessarily pluck a Hadas to get benefit from it. And therefore, there's no concern. The person will forget themselves and pluck it. So therefore, you can smell an attached Hadas to the ground, make a bracha on it, l'chatrila, no problem. Mutter l'hariachbo, it is l'chatrila, permissible to do so. As opposed to an esrog on a tree, on Shabbos, esrog b'mechubar, also l'hariachbo, don't go and smell it. Again, what's the rationale behind the differences? So my time up, what's the reason why you can smell an attached Hadas, but you can't smell an attached esrog? So it's as I alluded to a moment ago. Hadas de l'ariach koi, since the purpose of a Hadas is to smell it, a person, once he smells it, is not going to try to pull it off. Ishar is lay, if you let him go and smell it, lo osi l'mizayah, there's no likelihood that he'll go and cut it off and forget himself and cut it off, because he accomplished what he wanted to do. He wanted to smell it. And therefore, he did go and smell it. Many people use Hadasim for Havdalah, for the Besamim, and that's perfectly acceptable, because that's what the person of Hadassim are, to smell. And there is no concern that if a person smells it on Shabbos, it'll come to pull it off because he accomplished what he wanted to do. And there's no reason for the rabbis to make a gezerah, don't smell it, because he may come to go and cut it off. As opposed to the esrog, the purpose of an esrog, he says, is for eating. Esrog l'achila koi, not for reyach, but for eating. So we don't necessarily go and smell an esrog. So if a person smells an esrog, says, wow, that's a good esrog, I'd love to take a bite out of that, and he'll forget that it's Shabbos and he'll come to pluck it off. So ishar is late to smell, osi l'mixayi, he may come to forget himself and pull it off by accident. So therefore the rabbi set up a gezeira in that situation. And finally, another rule from Abba. The Amar Abba, lulav b'yomin, v'esrog b'smol. The lulav is taken. Now, when we say the lulav, we mean obviously the lulav bundled together with the hadasim and the aravos. So that's three mitzvos. And you take that in your right hand. In general, whenever one does a mitzvah, you take a glass of soda, you make a bracha shahakal on it, you should be holding the cup in your right hand. Right? You pour the soda into your cup, and you hold the cup in your right hand, and you make the shakel, and you drink it right away. So the bracha is over lasiyosin right before you do the mitzvah. And you hold the bedavka in your right hand. Lefties, by the way, they hold it in the left hand, because that's their more chashuva hand. So you want to give chashivas to the item, and you hold it in your preferred hand, your stronger hand, which for 95% of the people in the world is their right hand. For those that are lefties or ambidextrous, so it's a smaller percentage. Lefties who are true lefties, so they hold it in their left hand when they make a bracha. Somebody who's ambidextrous, if he's truly equal strength, so then he holds it in his right hand as well, like the rest of the world or the majority of the rest of the world. So Rab is telling us, your typical righty should be holding the lulav in his right hand with the hadasim and the aravos, and he holds the esrog in his left hand. And for those that are lefties, the majority opinion is that they would hold it in their left hand, the lulav and the hadasim and the aravos in their left hand, and the esrog in the right hands. Whole question about the orientation. Normally we have the lulav in your right hand, and the hadasim, the three hadasim, are on the outside, the two aravos are on the inside, and the esrog is held in the left hand adjacent to it. The way I tell people to remember it, it is 3-2-1 in terms of the orientation. So when a person is a lefty, and he holds it in the lulav and the hadasim and the aravos in his left hand, so there are poskim that say you hold it again 3-2-1. So the hadassah will be on the outside of the left hand, the aravos will be on the inside of the left hand, and the esrog will be in the right hand. But there are others that say no, the hadassah are always on the right, and the arava is always on the left. So therefore, they would hold it that way. And some suggest that a lefty should hold it both ways, first do it one way, then do it the other way, to be yotzei all the different opinions. In any event, we're sticking right now with righties. Amar Rabba, he says, a righty holds the lulav in his right hand and the esrog in his left hand. Why? My taima. Again, I alluded to this already. Hanei t'losa mitzos, because the lulav has the hadasim and the aravas in it. So if we're going to give chashivas to one of the two hands, so that's the right hand, so that one is the one that we put, the one that has more mitzos in it. And therefore, hanei t'losa mitzos, as opposed to the left hand, will hold just, quote, the esrog, v'hai chode mitzah, and that's why we do it that way, and that is the halacha l'maisa. Amalei Rabbi Yirmi, Yila Rabbi Zrika. Rabbi Yirmi said to Rabbi Zrika, my time lo mevarchinon el al netilas lulav. He has a very good question. We make the brach, we say, Hashem k'shon nesav tzivanu al netilas lulav. Why don't we say al netilas lulav, esrog, hadasa, v'yaravos? Why do we just mention the lulav? So it's a very good question. Rabbi Zrika gives him a very good answer. Rabbi Zrika tells him, hoil the gavoa mikulam, because that's the tallest of them. Some suggest it's the tree that's the tallest of them. Others suggest that the lulav is higher above the other two. The lulav is at least 4 tvachim, and lemaisa, the lulav should be held in a way that at least there's a tefach from the top of the hadassim to the top of the lulav. We had earlier, does that mean the top of the leaves of the lulav, the top of the spine of the lulav? But in any event, the lulav is certainly higher than the hadassim and the aravos, and normally one holds the esrog at the same level as the hadassim and the aravos, so therefore the lulav is the highest, so we therefore make the bracha al netilas lulav, and that incorporates all the dalabinim. That's what Ruzika responded to Revirmiya hoel v'gavoa mikulan. He says, well, lift the esrog up. But like B.L.E. esrog levarach, the esrog is not bound with the other ones. So guess what? Hold the esrog up with your left hand higher than the top of the lulav, and then make the bracha al netilas esrog, and have that include the lulav, hadasim, and the aravos. Now, what's the hava mina to say that you should do that? Because the pasuk tells us that first you take pre-eitz hadar. So that's the first one that's actually mentioned. So Rabbi Yirmiyah says, doesn't it make sense that that should be the one that you make the bracha on? So Ruzika says, no, that's not what I meant. Amalei, hoel ubimino gavoa mikulan. He says, not only in the way you hold it, but the tree itself, it is naturally taller than all the others, and therefore, that's the one that the minog is to make the bracha on. Again, the bracha is all the Rabbanon, and this was the reasoning behind the Rabbanon making the bracha al netilas lulav. Tosfos says, why don't we just say that the shear of the lulav is bigger than the others? The shear of the lulav is at least 4 tvachim, hadasim, and the aravos are at least 3 tvachim, and the esrog, we said, and how big machlok is how big the largest esrog can be. Nobody mentioned a size of 4 tvachim, right? We said you could have to hold it in two hands, but it's probably not 4 tvachim. In any event, Tosfos says, Akasha, why do we didn't give that as the reason? And finally, I just mentioned, if you don't have all 4 of the minhag is, as I mentioned the other day, to go and take it, but you don't make a bracha at all. And the reason why we take the 3 or 2 minim that you have is so you shouldn't forget the concept of the mitzvah of lulav and esrog, but it's really one mitzvah. It's not 4 separate mitzvahs. And if you can't do the whole mitzvah, then we don't make a bracha at all. Now we go to the next Mishnah. The heichan hayu menanin. And where did they go and do the actual waving of the lulav and esrog? So the Gemara says, they waved, behodu l'ashem kito kilo chasto in the halel. Many had the custom of specifically waiting to make the bracha on the lulav and esrog until they're right before the halal. They make the bracha then, and they go straight into halal to be mitzarif, the mitzvah of taking the tilas lulav and the nanuim to do them together. Others had the mitzvah to get up early in the morning as soon as possible, and they go and make the bracha on the lulav and esrog in the sukkah, and then they come to shul later on, and they do the nanuim without a separate bracha. Each one has its great supporters. The more litvisher, the more pure halachic way is to do it as we said first, which is to do it together with the halal. And many amongst the chassidish communities, they tend to do it, zrizim maktim lemitzvah, to do it early in the morning in the sukkah, and the combination of doing the taking the lulav and esrog in the sukkah is also a desirable thing. Each person should follow his own minhag. Neither one is righter or less correct than the other one. There are 2 different ways for Klai Yisrael to observe this beautiful mitzvah. In any event, when you do the nanuim, how do you actually do them? So when you're doing the halal, everybody agrees, when you do the halal, you do the nanuim, and you do them when you start the kapitel of Holy Lashem Kitov Kili Olam Chasto. And you do this Tchila Vasof. You do it at the beginning, at the end. Rashi explains it means at the beginning of this kapitel, and at the end of the kapitel, when we conclude towards the end of the Hallel, we say Hodu L'Hashem Ki Tov again. So you do it both at the beginning Hodus and at the end Hodus. Tosus points out a whole discussion over here. Again, we're not really learning the Halach L'Maisa, but Tosus does bring down that the minhag is for the Kohol, for the Tzibur, to go and do the Nanum every time they say Hodu L'Hashem Ki Tov, the four times that they say it, as opposed to the Chazan, who only does it the first time he does Hodu L'Hashem Ki Tov, and when he says Yom Ha'Noah. But we don't do it when he says Yom Ha'Noah, Beis Aron, and Yom Ha'Noah, Yiri Hashem. The Chazan doesn't do the Nanum then, and the Tzibur does do the Nanuim by the Hodu L'Hashem Ki Tov all four times, and then both the Chazan and the Tzibur, when they say Hodu L'Hashem at the end, both the Chazan and the Tzibur do the Nanuim by the Hodu L'Hashem Ki Tov twice as well, because we repeat those all those psukim two times. Now, the Mishnah continues and says, not only do it by the Hodu L'Hashem Ki Tov, but we also do it Uba'ano Hashem Hoshiyana. Both times, again, all these psukim are doubled. That's a Gemara elsewhere that we had explaining why we double up these words. In any event, we do the psukim twice, and therefore you do it both times, and we say Ano Hashem Hoshiyana, we do Nanuim. This is the opinion Divrei Beis Hillel. And this is very unusual. We actually mentioned the opinion of Beis Hillel before the opinion of Beis Shammai. In general, Beis Hillel always gave cover to Beis Shammai and mentioned them first. And why is this different over here? So the great Ben Ish Chai, the great Yosef Chaim from Baghdad, in his commentary, both in the Ben Yoyada and the Ben Ayahu, so he writes down that even here, Beis Hillel is moded that if you want to do like Beis Shammai, you can. Normally, Beis Hillel says if you follow Beis Shammai, you mischai benafsho, you shouldn't follow Beis Shammai. They gave cover to them, but they said you shouldn't follow them. But here, they said if you want to, you can go like Beis Shammai. So in this situation, Beis Hillel's opinion is mentioned first. In any event, this was the opinion, Divrei Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai Omrim, Beis Shammai says, no, you do Nanuim not only in the places that Beis Hillel said, but you also do it during Ono Hashem Hatzlichana. Now, our minhag, of course, is like Beis Hillel, as we always pass it like Beis Hillel, almost always pass it like Beis Hillel over Beis Shammai. And over here, too, we do not do Nanuim when we say Ono Hashem Hatzlichana. The Ben Yod, again, has a very interesting idea. He says, the Hoshiyana, that deals more with Chetzei Shemayim. He goes through various gematrias to show why that's true, and the Hatzlichanah deals more with personal, physical, financial needs, and therefore it's more appropriate to do the Nanuim only by the Chetzei Shemayim, only the things that are dealing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In any event, Beis Shammai says that we do Nanuim also by Ono Hashem Hatzlichanah the two times that we say it. Amar Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Kiva says, I was watching, so far Yisi b'Rabban Gamliel v'Rabbi Yoshua, I was watching during the Hallel, while they were taking the Lulav and Esrog, what was the custom of Rabban Gamliel and Rabbi Yoshua? Shekol ha'om, the rest of the nation, followed actually the opinion of Beis Shammai. Shekol ha'om ho'yumanin es Lulaveyen, during On Hashem Hatzlichana. However, Rabban Gamliel and Rabbi Yoshua, the Hemlo, Nanu, Elo, Bo'ono, Hashem, Oshino. They did not follow like Beis Shammai. They wanted to show the people it's like Beis Hillel, which is, of course, how we paskin. And even though the Veld had paskin like Beis Shammai, they said, no, the right way to do this is like Beis Hillel. And that's the minhag that has come down today, that we only do the Nanuim by Ono, Hashem, Oshino, the two times, and not by the two times we say Ono, Hashem, Hatzlicho, No. Now we go to the Gemara. Gemara says, where in the world did Nanuim come into our discussion? Nianua man dekar shmei. You start off the Mishnah without saying that there's a mitzvah to do Nanuim. You say, where do you do that Nanuim? Where do you do the Nanuim? Instead of saying, there is a mitzvah to do Nanuim, and by the way, here's where you do the Nanuim. So Gemara says, no, that's incorrect. We had mentioned it actually, because when we talked in the previous Mishnah, what is the shear for the lulav, we said you have to have four tvachim, three to be the size of the lulav, and one extra tefach to hold it during the Nanuim. So Hasim Koy, in the previous Mishnah, we had said, Kol lulav sheyesh bo shlosha tefachim kidei l'naneya bo kosher, and you have to have an additional tefach to hold on to do the Nanuim. The Kamar, Hechom and Nanin, therefore now we can go and jump from that. It's as if we said, there's a mitzvah to do Nanuim. And now Amish can say, and where do you do the Nanuim? How do you actually do the Nanuim? What is the physical way that we do the Nanuim? I should point out, for those who want a very interesting discussion, this, the Mati Ephraim goes through many, many different customs as to how people go and put in different numbers of hadassim and aravos, and how they do in nanuim and all sorts of different directions and different ways. Again, this is all beautiful, beautiful minhagim of Klai Yisrael. Each person should follow the minhag that they have from their parents. If you don't have a minhag, you should follow the minhag of the shul that you're davening in. And the normal way that we do it, and the person is facing always towards the east, towards Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, and towards the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore you first do the Nanuim in that direction, and then there are different ways to do this. Many people do it in a clockwise direction. You go east, and then you go to the south, then you go west, and then you go north, and then you go up, then you go down. Again, there are different ways to do this. Every person should follow the way that he does it, because none of this is Ma'akev the Mitzvah. Now, the source for this Nanum is actually from the Shtei Halechem from Shavuos and the Shnei Kivtzei Atzeres, for which you do a Tnufa. And that Tnufa is a general description. It's a binyanav, just like you do the Tnufa, the wavings over there, in that direction, in that way, so too you do it any place you have the mitzvah of waving, such as the Nanuim by the Lulav and Esrog. So Tnan Hosam, we learned in the mitzvah, in Menachos, where it talks about the Shtei Halechem, the two breads that came with the Shnei Kivsei Atzeres, the only carbon seba that we have, that's a Shlomim, the Kivsei Atzeres, that are brought on Shavuos. So the Shtei Halechem and Shnei Kivsei Atzeres, they're waved together as part of the mitzvah of Tnufa for the bringing of this carbon and the Shtei Halechem. The Mishnah there says, how do you go do the Nanuim? So it says, Meniach Shtei Halechem, you take the two breads, and you put them on top of Al Gabe Shnei Akvasim, on top of the two lambs that you bring as the carbon, Umeniach Yadu Tachtem, and you put your hands underneath this Kivsei Atzeres with the Shtei Halechem on top of it, and then you go, Umeniach Yadu Tachtem, your hands are underneath it, Umenif, and you wave them in the following way. How is that? Umolich Umevi Male Umorid. The pasuk tells us, "V'kidash to es chazei atnufa v'yishol katruma asher hunaf v'asher huram." So you do the hunaf and you do the huram, and what is that? Molich umevi, male umorid. You wave it in all the directions of the four corners of the world, and then you do up and you do down. Rashi says hunaf means molich umevi, and huram means mala, and you can't go up without having to come down. Ben aliyah below harada, and that's what the pasuk means when it tells us. Shenemar asher hunaf v'asher huram. Now, what does this practically supposed to do? Amar Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan says, Molichu mevi lemi sha'aburuchu shalo. When you go and move it in the four directions of the world, that's to demonstrate that HaKadosh Baruch Hu owns everything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu owns all four corners of the world, north, south, east, and west. And therefore, we're demonstrating this by doing the tenufa in these directions. And ma'ale umorid, we go up and we go down to demonstrate also, lemi sha'shamayim v'aret shalo. Hashem owns everything. He owns the shamayim, he owns the aretz. So that's what Rabbi Yochanan says. Alternatively, in Eretz Yisrael, b'ma'arava mas nuhachi, they learned the following. They said, Amar Rabbi Chama barukfa, Amar Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Chanina. They said the following reason. Molichu maybe when you do it in the horizontal directions, north, south, east, and west, kidei la'atzor ruchos ros. That's to go and prevent bad winds from coming and destroying the crops or just causing damage. Malu morid, up and down, that the purpose is kidei latzor to lolim roim, to go and prevent all sorts of damaging rains and dew coming down onto the world. So this has a mystical or a metaphysical benefit to demonstrate over here that we want to prevent these tragedies, potentially these winds and these damaging rains from hurting our world. Based upon this latter opinion from my Rava, from Eretz Yisrael, Amar Rav Yossi bar Ovin, Vitemo, others say it was Rav Yossi bar Zivila, he said, whoever it was that said it, Zoso Maris, according to this opinion, as Rashi says, Ha the Rav Yossi, the Kamar, Tunfa, Sotzeris, Ruchos, Ros, Tlalim, Roim, the Rav Yossi, Rav Chanina had just said, the reason is to prevent all sorts of these damaging winds and rains, so this idea, Zoso Maris, and we turn to Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, the tremendous power of even a Shiori Mitzvah, this waving is not an essential mitzvah. You're supposed to do it, but if you didn't do it, the carbon is still yotze. Let's say they didn't do tenufa, but you brought the kivsei atzeres and the shtei alechem, so you yotze the mitzvah. Ah, you didn't do it properly. You didn't do it in the optimal way. So if you did it on purpose, so then you're a rasha if you didn't do those things. But if you did it because you weren't able to for whatever the reason, so then okay, next time you'll do better. So shiari mitzvah, you see from here, the power of even a shiari mitzvah, not the real essential mitzvah, but a subordinate part of the mitzvah, Ma'akvinus haparanius, has the ability to go and prevent all sorts of terrible paranius, all sorts of bad things from happening in the world. Because shari tenufa, shari mitzvah, as I just mentioned, the tenufa while it's a mitzvah to do so, l'chatchila, you should do so. If you didn't do it, you are yotzei the mitzvah. Nevertheless, even though it's a shiari mitzvah, it's a lesser part of the mitzvah, nevertheless, v'otzeres ruchos sutlon b'rum, it has the power to go and stop all of these bad things from happening, this parani is from occurring, the bad winds or the bad rains. Furthermore, Yama Rava, v'chein b'lulav, Rava says that the same exact thing applies with the waving of the lulav. You're yotzei the mitzvah of lulav, and esrog, as soon as you pick up the lulav and esrog. That's why you have to be very careful. Kedai to remind people that when we pick up the lulav and esrog, so you yotzei it right away, unless you either have in mind that you want to yotzei, or you put the lulav in the left hand and the esrog in the right hand, or what most people do is they turn the esrog upside down so the pitim is facing downward, so it's not in the way that it grows, and therefore you're not yotzei with it. Or alternatively, you could just keep them far apart. If you hold the lulav in your right hand but keep it far away from your left hand, with the esrog even held in the right position, so then you're also not yotzei because they're supposed to be together. In any event, one has to be careful not to be yotzei the mitzvah. But v'chein belulav, so the nanuim, you've already been yotzei the mitzvah. When you do the nanuim, you've already fulfilled the mitzvah, and yet Rava says the nanuim that we do, which is a beautiful minhag, but it's not ma'akev, so that can also prevent paranius, just like the waving of the kivsi atzeres or the other korbanos. So these wavings have tremendous power, even though the shiari mitzvah, so too the nanuim, which are shiari mitzvah lulav, have tremendous power. Then the Gemara tells us a very interesting personal minhag that Rav Acha bar Yaakov had. Rav Acha bar Yaakov, mematile umaisile, when he used to go and take the lulav, actually before he did the nanuim, he would go and take the lulav and push it outwards and then bring it back inwards, and it would say, kaviyochol din gira be'ene desitna. I'm doing this to be like a gira. A gira is an arrow. A chetz, it should be like an arrow in the eyes of the sultan. In other words, he says, I'm using this mitzvah to go and make my yetzahara be tempered. I want to go and put an arrow into my yetzahara, into the sultan. However, the Gemara says, most people shouldn't do this. If you're Rav Acha bar Yaakov, gizin tehet, v'lav milsi, but most people should not do something like this. As Rashi points out, ein nochel lo marchein. Normal people shouldn't do this. I always like to say the expression, don't try this at home. This was done by a professional on a professional course. So too, if you're Rav Acha bar Yaakov, you can go stick your lulav, so to say, in the sultan's eye and try to poke out the sultan's eye. But if you're not Rav Acha bar Yaakov, don't try this. V'lav milsi, lo nochon, lo marken. One should not do this because, mishum da'asi li'igruyebe, you know what? You're going to provoke him. You're going to tell the sultan, yeah, I can take care of your yetzar. The sultan says, oh yeah, let's see if you can get by this. And therefore, you don't want to provoke the sultan. A person should always not ask to be tested. A person should not try to go and provoke his yetzahara. A person shouldn't walk in places where he's going to be tempted to do certain aveiris. Don't poke the eyes of the sultan. Don't try to get the sultan to go and attack you and try to withstand such challenges. Very good mussar on life and a great way to end today's shir.